For 36 years, the Goldman Environmental Prize has celebrated everyday heroes who are showing us that every action has the power to turn apathy into positive change for the environment. Heroes like Bastiana Gurri and Olsi Nika, who helped create Europe's first Wild River National Park. Visit us at goldmanprize.org to discover the stories of this year's Goldman Environmental Prize winners. And learn how when it comes to protecting our planet, the doing makes the difference.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Right now, let's talk to Ross Tucker. Of course, Ross is our Odyssey NFL insider. Make sure you check out the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, daily NFL podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. Ross, always good to talk with you this time of year. The news, at least today, or one of the news headlines is the Titans GM, Mike Borgonzi, came out and said, we have come to a consensus as an entire organization to stay with the number one pick. They are not going to trade the pick. We can all assume that pick is Cam Ward. That's the easy part, right? I mean, we all pretty much know that's happening.
I'm not assuming that, okay? I'm going to do it right here on your show more than 48 hours in advance. I am predicting that the Tennessee Titans are going to take Cam Ward with number one overall pick. You heard it here first, fellas.
Okay. Yes, okay.
I wanted to go on the record with that. It is interesting, though, isn't it? Because what I always find most fascinating is how much stuff changes since the last time guys actually played football. And there was not any consensus during the season that Cam Ward was the number one guy or clearly better than Shedeur Sanders or whatever. But since everybody's been watching the tape and since the season ended, that certainly seems to be the consensus, that most people feel that way as it relates to Cam Ward. And I couldn't be happier. I mean, guys, we're not talking about this enough, okay? This guy started his college career at Incarnate Word. Okay, in all sincerity, does any listener right now know where Incarnate Word is?
Yes, and the only reason I know it was because I'm from there. Yes, San Antonio, Texas. Yes, private school. Private school, about 3,000, maybe 4,000 kids. When I knew about it, I don't know what it is now. Most people have no idea, Ross, to your point. And the only reason he got that scholarship is because his high school team ran the wing T. He didn't even throw the ball in high school. So nobody even knew how good Cam Ward could be coming into college, and that's why I didn't get any offers at 6'3", 220 pounds.
So my high school ran the wing T. So I'm intimately familiar, and it was awesome as an offensive lineman because we got to pull around and run and hit people, and it's like the only offense out there that features the offensive line. It was great. But I'm thrilled for him, and when we have the discussion of the transfer portal – and the pros and the cons and everything, we got to remember guys like Cam Ward, because I don't care how well he played at Incarnate Word, he wouldn't have been the number one pick if he had stayed there.
All right, and now to be Debbie Downer with Ross Tucker. A lot of folks say if this was a draft a couple years ago, he's the seventh, or even last year, he's like the sixth or seventh best quarterback. Kind of like when the Steelers took Kenny Pickett at 20th, he's probably not one of the top 100 players in that draft. So is that unfair, or is that accurate that Cam Ward wouldn't stack up with last year's quarterback class?
You know, I've heard people say that. Most of the people I have talked to think he'd be somewhere between 4 to 7, right? Mm-hmm. That maybe he's not where people had Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels as well as Drake May, but that he would fit in with the next group of Penix Jr. and McCarthy and Bo Nix. And I agree with that. I mean, he's pretty darn good, guys. I think people are overstating that a little bit when they say that. And the Kenny Pickett thing's interesting because there were a lot of people that really liked him. I mean, really liked him when he came out. Obviously, the Steelers are one of them. Ironically, a lot of the Kenny Pickett conversation is sort of reminiscent of the Shador Sanders conversation, which is that it's like, okay, really, really good player, had an amazing year, career, whatever, but he's not that big. He's not that fast. He doesn't have that strong of an arm, you know, that kind of missing like the physical characteristic that really blew you away, which interestingly is what a lot of people are saying about Shador Sanders. And a lot of people think, you know, he might end up going now 21 to the Pittsburgh Steelers. So do they get, do they get another Kenny Pickett type?
It's going to be interesting. That pick in itself, if he goes early, if he goes late. Let's talk offensive linemen, because that's something you're very familiar with. What do you think about this O-line class? Ironically, the Falcons, you know, I do not think that they're going to pick an offensive lineman here early, but it doesn't mean that they might not try to add depth if they add some additional picks. What do you make of this O-line class?
Yeah, so, I mean, a couple things on the Falcons, just because I knew we were talking. I love the idea, depending on who's there in the first round. Man, I would love if they could pick up, if they could move down and pick up some extra picks. Because they're not going to get Abdul Carter or Mason Graham. And they're, you know, some of the defense, and I don't even think they'll get Mykel Williams, right? I would love to see them double up on the D-line. One edge guy, one interior guy. This is the draft to do it. Mm-hmm. And I think the Falcons could slide down, you know, into the 20s and pick up some more picks and still be able to double dip. The concern is, or the question is, who wants to move up and who do you want to move up for? So they might kind of get their pick of the next tier or the next group of those guys that aren't the guys that I just named. As for the offensive line, it's interesting because there's a little bit of a flaw with every guy, right? So Will Campbell, not quite as long as you would like him to be. That doesn't bother me that much, but there are people that does cause concern. Armon Membu from Missouri, he reminds me a lot of a former teammate of mine in Jason Peters. I mean, their body type, what they look like on the field, how they play, eerily similar to me, at like 6'4", 330-something, got some nasty to him, longer arms, raw. I mean, I remember, you know, Peters came out of Arkansas. He was on the practice squad, guys, for the Buffalo Bills in 2004 when I was starting. That should be like on my gravestone. Think about that. I mean, a first ballot Hall of Famer was on practice squad, and they had me starting. That's bad coaching right there. But in all sincerity, I even like Kelvin Banks, who has the ideal length that you're looking for and is maybe a little bit more polished than Membu, there's just something – he doesn't have the consistency that you would want. Banks should be, based on his experience and physical traits, he should be the number one guy off the board, but he's not going to be. And I think part of that's because he just hasn't put it all together for whatever reason.
Right. It's a Ross Tucker, by the way, Carl, all Ivy League in 2000 here on the WaitFor.com hotline.
Pretty damn good.
The thing that Carl and I have been debating a lot with our experts, Ross, is the Travis Hunter phenomenon. And if he just goes, if it's chalk and he just goes to Cleveland, the imaginative nature of a coaching staff to, yes, I will let him play both sides. I obviously, he's going to not play, you know, 100 plays a game. But what about the idea? Is he a wide receiver first or corner first in your mind?
Well, honestly, we could debate this for hours. It's fascinating. I called the Colorado State game last year. You know, he might be the best college football player I've ever seen in my entire life. I went to a practice at Boulder, then watching that game. I don't think people realize, you guys know this because you're in the heart of college football country, a lot of these teams run, you know, up-tempo, right? So it's like 160 snaps a game. You know, in NFL, it's like 120. Mm-hmm. It's a big difference. And so for him to be out there for that many snaps, and I've talked to people that graded just Travis Hunter the corner and just Travis Hunter the receiver, and they were both top five players. You know, I've had people confirm to me he is the number one corner in the draft. He is the number one wide receiver in the draft. This is bananas. However, it does seem like, Mike, that there's more of – people think he's readier to be a more dominant player on the offensive side of the ball.
Right.
That's problematic because it's much easier to have a guy go to all the defensive meetings because – communication in the secondary is critically important. You can't just throw a guy out there, a corner, and him not, you know what coverage it is, know, you know, all the intricacies of the defense when they're man or zone. So three distinct thoughts here, right? Number one, the easiest thing to do if he's going to play both ways would be to be a full-time corner, part-time package receiver. Okay. But that doesn't seem to be where they think he could have the most impact right now. They think he's most ready on offense to be a difference-making player. And, oh, by the way, the Browns at 2, Giants at 3, they need him to be that type of player. They need him to be more impactful on offense. The other thing I was thinking about, and anybody can play along in this game, right? Let's say he could give you a bunch of snaps both sides of the ball and be very good at receiver and very good at corner. Would you rather have a guy that's very good at both or elite at one? You know, that might be what we're talking about here.
I agree. I mean, that you're absolutely right. And, you know, the kid went to high school here at Collins Hill. People saw him. He was the number one recruit coming out. And, you know, the story about Dion convincing him to go to Jackson State. Kid's legit, man. I agree with you. He's going to be good. I don't care where he ends up. He's going to impact the draft, and that's why I think he's the best player in this draft because of that. Ross Tucker, obviously, guys, Odyssey NFL Insider. Make sure you check out the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, daily NFL podcast, and on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. Ross, it's always good to talk with you. Where are you taking in the draft, by the way? Where are you going to be?
Oh, you guys will love this. My friends over at Labatt Blue Light, they are sponsoring a draft watch party with me Thursday night back in my hometown, Reading, Pennsylvania, at my favorite bar growing up. It's called Third and Spruce. So, and they're paying for a, speaking of the wing tee, they're paying for the first beer of anybody that comes wearing while missing high school football gear, which is just, I mean, if you would have told me and my buddies that someday I'd be getting paid to watch the draft and drink beer with people at my favorite bar, you got to be like, what a life we're living.
Oh, it's unbelievable. Nice. Hey, Ross, have fun. That's awesome. We'll talk to you afterwards, man, and get your opinions on all the stuff that's going to go down this weekend. It's going to be crazy. Enjoy, my friend, and have one for us.
I will absolutely do that. Sounds great. See you guys.
Ross.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Hass avocados or mangoes, 4 for $5 or $1.25 each. Signature Farms boneless, skinless chicken breasts or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two.
and enjoy an exclusive digital deal on Sargento shredded or sliced cheeses. 5 to 8 ounce selected varieties, $1.97 each, limit 4. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Tucker here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Esa-Pekka Salonen's final concerts as music director of the San Francisco Symphony bring legendary artists and epic music to Davies Symphony Hall, culminating in Mahler's electrifying Second Symphony. Tickets at sfsymphony.org.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.